Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now the Russ Belville Show. Streaming at 620kpoj.com and on the air at AM 620 KPOJ.
Called America. The weekend home for truly radical progressives. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show and welcome to Labor Day weekend. I'm Radical Russ Belville, your Red State refugee, coming at you live and direct from Portland, Oregon. Yes, we're back in Portland. Yay, at the home studios here in the West Coast. Oh, I'm telling you, I've had quite the week. It's been a road trip to end all road trips. I started off in Seattle, Washington last weekend. You knew about that. I had a repeat show a couple weeks ago because I was up in Seattle. Road tripped back to Portland for a day of work. Then road trip from Portland all the way to Denver, Colorado for the Democratic National Convention. And I've got plenty to report on the convention. And then just 2 days ago, Thursday, decided to road trip back all the way here to Portland because, if you caught our show last week from out of town, you realize that little delay we had to work with. I didn't get to have the show I wanted to have because of that strange delay. So it was worth it to me to drive all the way back, 20 hours worth of driving across Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, Idaho, and Oregon, just to be back with you listeners today. So I hope you appreciate it, and I hope you have a great Labor Day weekend. Now, before we get into the news, we've got to, of course, welcome a man who drives on the wrong side of the road, mixes up his Z's and S's, yes, and can't for the life of him pronounce aluminum and schedule correctly. Our favorite immigrant worker from London, answering your calls and working the knobs in Washington, D.C., our own Stevie Webb. Hey, Stevie.
Cheeky bugger. So, yeah. So, how was your schedule?
Well done.
Yes, indeedy.
It was quite busy, of course. A lot of you know I went to the Democratic National Convention because I was credentialed there to write for a gay and lesbian blog, which makes a lot of sense, right? As the straight white guy from the Pacific Northwest. Mm-hmm. I think I got the affirmative action bid on that one. But I'm writing for a blog called Pam's House Blend. So if you want to check out my reports from Denver, just log on to pamshouseblend.com and look for the post from Radical Russ. I got stuff all over the net on that one. It was really, really interesting covering the blog for covering the convention for a gay and lesbian blog, because I got to go to all these different events that the gay and lesbian community had. There was a HRC luncheon. That's the Human Rights Campaign or Coalition. I'm not sure which. I think it's campaign. Mm. The Human Rights Campaign had a LGBT luncheon, and for those of you not in the know, LGBT is lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered. And boy, the saddest thing, when we just started that luncheon, the before the luncheon began, we got news of the death of Del Martin. And if you don't know, Del Martin is one half of the lesbian couple who were the first legally married couple in the state of California once the California Supreme Court recognized gay marriages. And this lesbian couple had been together for 55 years before they were married by New York Mayor Gavin Newsom. While I was there at the luncheon, Gavin Newsom was the first to get up and speak, and he had just heard about Del Martin's death literally like seconds before he got up to speak. So it was really, really touching. He got kind of broken up a little bit. So,
Well, I'm glad that they got the chance to actually profess their love for each other in such a way just in time then.
Yeah, that seemed to be kind of the sentiment among many of the people there. That's was, nice. Well, at least, you know, they were able to demonstrate their love for each other after 55 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, a case like that just totally blows out of the water all of these anti-gay people that talk about, you know, the gays are going to be, they're going to be a threat to marriage. They're going to be a threat to civil society.
That's right.
They don't respect the sanctity of marriage.
Man, all those militant gays.
Yeah. How many heterosexual couples, you know, been married for 55 years to the same person?
Off the top of my head, let's see, I could count them on the finger of no hands.
Exactly. So
this was actually the LGBTR lunch. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and Russ.
And RR, and, Radical
and,
Russ.
And Radical Russ, yeah.
That may be so. And I caught a really interesting thing, too, at another event. LGBT had a caucus meeting of all of the delegates there who represented the LGBT community. And you may have seen this scroll on CNN's coverage of the convention, how gay and lesbian delegates made up about 6% of the delegation there to the Democratic convention. So this was a big meeting at the convention center there. Surprisingly enough, Michelle Obama showed up to speak to the delegates, which was great. You know, finally showing this community some respect instead of treating them like an ATM machine every 4 years. Mm. But the thing that was a really kind of a big scoop there at that luncheon was, well, here's another kind of inside baseball thing with the LGBT community is the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. You may have heard of this. It's called ENDA for short, Employment Non-Discrimination Act. And what that act would mean would be that gays and lesbians couldn't be fired from their jobs simply for being gay and lesbian. And I think a lot of people, you know, don't even realize that yes, you can be fired from your job with no recourse if you're found to be gay and lesbian, or even just suspected of being gay and lesbian. So they had this bill, ENDA, you know, Employment Non-Discrimination Act, to protect gays and lesbians. The controversy here is whether or not that bill should include the transgendered or people, you know, with different gender identities. It's an amazing issue when you get to it. It covers the transgendered, the transsexual people, you know, and of course, the big scare, of course, from the business types are, well, what if they want to use the bathroom? But what if these transgendered people want to use the bathroom? Which bathroom will they go to? That's their reasoning behind why they shouldn't protect transgendered people in the workplace, because we would worry about which bathroom they would go to.
I'm terrified.
Yeah, I'm totally terrified from that one. But the thing that was the interesting scoop here is Representative Barney Frank, who's, of course, the first openly gay member of Congress, was a sponsor, supporter of this bill, this ENDA bill. And he worked it so that the transgender protection would be taken out of the bill. And again, it's a political calculus, because they found that, you know, if they protected gays and lesbians, that the bill would make it through Congress. But if they added transgender to it, it would shave off enough votes that it would lose. So this became a big controversy in the gay and lesbian community of how they were taking away the transgendered protection. Kind of, you know, the transgendered people said, you know, that's like throwing us under the bus here just to get this passed. And so backstage, well, not backstage, but out in the lobby, while the luncheon was going on, I happened to be standing out there doing some interviews with some people when we caught Barney Frank and a transgendered lady who was talking with him. And they were in this really high, heated discussion between the two of them, you know, kind of waving their hands and gesturing. So I got my camera over there to check it out. And I was the only media there checking out this argument between Barney Frank and this transgendered activist. I haven't had a chance yet to get the video edited and cleaned up, but when I do, we will break that next week on the Russ Belville Show, and we'll get some an interesting look at Representative Barney Frank, to say the least. Other than that, though, as far as the Denver convention goes, I spent a lot of time out on the streets. The way the credentialing process worked there at the convention is there's this levels of credentials or of passes that you could have to get into the Pepsi Center where they were doing most of the conventioneering. The highest level of credential was the floor pass. And that's, you know, if you're a delegate or a high level politician or media, you got the floor pass, which gets you onto the main floor of the convention. Right below that, they have the hall pass, and the hall pass lets you get into the arena area, you know, where the seats are up in the Pepsi Center, but not actually on the floor. So it was the hall credential. Then there was a arena credential, which lets you get inside the building, but not inside the Pepsi Center where the seats are. And then the lowest credential was the perimeter credential, where you could get inside the security moat that was around Pepsi Center, but not actually in the building. So of these four levels of credentials, the blog I was writing for had the bottom three. We had a perimeter, we had an arena, and we had a hall credential, and there were four of us blogging. So of the four bloggers we had Pam, who's a lesbian blogger, we had Terrence, who's a gay blogger, and we had Autumn, who's a transgendered blogger, and me, a straight white guy from the Pacific Northwest. So we kind of made the decision that the three of them, it would make, you know, make more sense for them to have the credentials to go in the Pepsi Center. So that kept me on the outside for the most part. But man, plenty of stuff to see. One of the things is, if you've ever been to Denver, Colorado, they have this area called the 16th Street Mall. And it's this entire street that is no longer, they no longer have cars on the street. It's more like a pedestrian shopping mall kind of an area. And this is where all the protesters came out. Oh, man, I love the protesters. I love the nut job, wackaloon protesters that come out for these sort of things. You know, we had the anti-abortion protesters, or as I like to call them, the pro-government enforced procreation protesters come out. So had a lot of talks with them. And a talk with a lady who was concerned about bird porn. Yes.
I beg your pardon?
Bird porn. She had a sign out that said, "Democrats, stop bird porn."
Bird porn.
Bird porn, yes.
Did you find out what a bird porn is?
I did, and we come back from our next break, I'll talk about exactly
what
the...
Wow, stay tuned.
Yes, stay tuned for the end of bird porn in our time. But before we get to our break, we've got to get to the news, because I know a lot of you are like me. You work a full-time job for a living. You don't always have the time to catch up with the newspaper or the evening news. So, at the top of the Russ Belville Show, I help you catch up on the week's hottest news topics with...
The Week in 90 Seconds.
John W. McCain picks Palin to be his vice president.
Tiger brand coffee is a real treat. Even tigers prefer coffee to real meat.
No, no, not Michael Palin. Sarah Palin. Though Michael Palin might be more qualified.
It's really probably out of the realm of possibility to be tapped for that position, so I don't even have to worry about it.
Barack Obama accepts the Democratic nomination for president.
I accept your nomination for presidency of the United States.
Hillary Clinton calls on her supporters to support Barack Obama.
We are on the same team, and none of us can afford to sit on the sidelines.
The GOP prepares for their convention next week in Minneapolis. The airport bathroom should be hopping.
I don't seek activity in bathrooms. I tend to spread my legs when I lower my pants. I'm a fairly wide guy.
Hurricane Gustav bears down on the Gulf Coast just in time for the third anniversary of Katrina.
I think they've called in Pat Robertson to pray it off the coast.
Indicted Alaska Senator Ted Bridge to Nowhere Stevens wins his primary. I just read it on my internet truck.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes.
John W. McCain celebrated his 72nd birthday on Friday, becoming the oldest man to run for president.
I fell 8,000 feet onto a pile of jagged rocks. Of course, folks were tougher in those days. I was jitterbugging that very night.
And in a strange coincidence, I didn't realize these two guys had the same birthday, but Michael Jackson celebrated his 50th birthday on Friday.
So tonight, gotta live in my 5 o'clock
show. That's right. Michael Jackson is 50.
Enjoy yourself.
I'm Radical Russ Belville. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with bird porn and the story of Sarah Palin. Stay tuned.
You're tuned to the Russ Belville Show, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Radical Russ, your red state refugee. This is the Russ Belville Show.
This election is our chance to keep, in the 21st century, the American promise alive. Because next week in Minnesota, the same party that brought you two terms of George Bush and Dick Cheney will ask this country for a third. And we are here. We are here because we love this country too much to let the next 4 years look just like the last 8.
Yeah, that's Senator Barack Obama there giving his speech the other day, Thursday night, accepting the Democratic nomination. Welcome back to the Russ Belville Show. Just checking up the ratings on that speech. It says here that Senator Barack Obama's acceptance speech last night reached a quarter of America's household. In all, with over 38 million viewers, according to Nielsen Media Research, more people watched Obama speak than watched the Olympics opening ceremony in Beijing, the final of American Idol, or the Academy Awards this year. Plus, the AP notes that Obama's audience might be higher since Nielsen didn't estimate how many people watched on PBS or C-SPAN. So, yeah, pretty amazing there, the response to Barack Obama's speech. And that, of course, leads us now to our big story.
Now it's time for the big story.
Oh, my. What a big story you have.
Thanks. Now here's Radical Russ.
Well, we've kind of got two big stories to talk about here for the show today. And if you want to get involved in the conversation, the phone number here is 888-7-RADICAL. That's 888-732-3422. 7-RADICAL is the number here. 888-7-RADICAL. Yeah, we're talking about the Democratic National Convention and the huge success of Barack Obama's speech, which has led to the surprise Friday announcement of John W. McCain's running mate, Governor Sarah Palin of Alaska. So these two stories kind of dovetail into each other quite nicely. Before we get right to that, though, I wanted to cover a couple of things that happened to me while I was out there at the Democratic National Convention. Spent a lot of time at the big tent sponsored by Daily Kos, Dig, and Google. So got to meet a lot of bloggers out there and do a lot of good work there. And some things of note. Before the break, I told you about the protesters. And I spent a lot of time outside visiting with protesters and getting them on video.
I'm not sure I want to hear about this.
It is quite interesting. And I saw lots of different protests, right? You see the guys, the 9/11 truthers, right? The guys saying 9/11 was an inside job, what happened to Tower 7, all of that. There were the anti-abortion protesters, or as I like to call them, the pro-government enforced procreation protesters. There were some anti-gay protesters. One of these guys had a sign out that said, "Homo sex is a threat to national security." You know, and I never got the chance to ask him how that works. Homo sex is a threat to national security.
Oh, my goodness.
So all your typical protesters are out. We had, a great one that I really like to see were the people that were the anti-war protesters protesting the torture at Guantanamo. They had a number of volunteers, must have been 20 or 30 of them, all in orange jumpsuits with those black hoods on, marching through the streets. That was a nice visual. I thought that got the point across really, really well. So all your typical protests, right? You're going to see all these kind of things at almost any political event. And then I saw the one that left me kind of shaking my head. And this was one lady, probably in her 40s or 50s, you know, normal looking, everyday average woman, had a sign up that said, "Democrats, stop bird porn." Stop bird porn. And so I saw the sign and I kind of thought to myself, okay, this sounds interesting. So I went over to her and I said, "Excuse me, ma'am. I've seen a lot of porn in my life. I've even seen some porn that had you told me about it beforehand, I wouldn't have even believed it was physically possible.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen bird porn. What is the deal with the bird porn?" And so what she explained it to me is what she was trying to fight against is bird watching. She's trying to fight against the I guess not a sport, but the activity of bird watching.
Bird watching?
Bird watching, yes. And she and she complains that the problem with the bird watching is that bird watching interferes with the mating habits of these songbirds and is causing some problems with the populations of songbirds. Okay, so
and
I thought
the porn?
About it. Yeah, she's calling that bird porn because people are watching the birds during their mating.
So, hang on a second, but they're not watching the birds during their mating and then waiting till they've gone out and leaving crudely drawn drawings of them in their nests, coming back to look at their confused bird faces or anything, are they?
No, nothing like that.
Okay.
She's just talking about the bird watching, and so I had to ask her, well, how would you make that law work? How would you ban bird watching? I mean, don't look, there's a bird. You know, how do you stop people from watching birds? I thought it was one of the silliest things I'd ever heard of. Stop bird porn.
You have been convicted of watching a bird, and thy eyes must be plucked out.
I guess. I don't know. Oh, boy. Well, we're kind of running up against the bottom of the hour here. We got to take a hard break here in just about a minute. So we are going to get to the big story. And, of course, the big story is this selection of the virtually unknown Governor of Alaska, Sarah Palin, to be John W. McCain's running mate. I specifically would like to talk to women today. Ladies, give me a call at 888-7-RADICAL. What do you think about picking Sarah Palin as a vice president? Do you think this is just a sop to the Clinton fans out there, you know, wanting to have a woman in the office? Is this just a transparent move by John W. McCain to try to steal some of those votes and sow dissension in the Democratic Party over the Hillary Clinton candidacy? It seems kind of bogus to me. We'll be talking all about Sarah Palin and her background so that you can learn a little bit more about her coming up in the next few minutes here on The Russ Belville Show.
OJ and 620KBOJ.com. Call Radical Russ now at 1-888-7-RADICAL. This is The Russ Belville Show.
The Republican nominee, John McCain, has worn the uniform of our country with bravery and distinction. And for that, we owe him our gratitude and our respect. And next week, we'll also hear about those occasions when he's broken with his party as evidence that he can deliver the change that we need. But the record's clear. John McCain has voted with George Bush 90% of the time. Senator McCain likes to talk about judgment, but really, what does it say about your judgment when you think George Bush has been right more than 90% of the time? I don't know about you, but I'm not ready to take a 10% chance on change.
Welcome back to the Russ Belville Show. We're listening a little to Barack Obama's acceptance speech and the idea of 10% chance on change. What a great line from that speech there. But then, of course, John W. McCain here has tried to steal the thunder, steal the headlines with his surprise Friday announcement of his new vice presidential pick, the governor of Alaska, Sarah Palin. So I wanted to cover this here as we get to your phone calls at 888-7-RADICAL. I want to know, what do you think of this Sarah Palin pick? Obvious, at least in my eyes, an obvious pick here to try to sow dissension in the Democratic Party and try to steal off a few of those Hillary voters. But what a stupid move on McCain's part. He might get some short-term gain on this just from the surprise of the announcement. But once people get to know this Sarah Palin, especially the Hillary voters, I think they're. I think he's in for a big surprise here about how the reaction's going to be. Let's go to your calls here at 888-7-RADICAL. We're speaking now with Barbara in Orange City. Barbara, welcome to the welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I think it's a colossal error that that McCain picked her. I think it's good for Obama. But my thoughts are is that when they asked her to take this on, to be the VP choice, what in her background, what in her mind allowed her to think that she was capable of doing this? What allowed her to think that she had a leadership and judgment to do this? I remember when I was a soccer referee several years ago. I had been doing it for about 6 years, and I got into the college ranks, which was pretty high level. But I did local colleges, and if somebody had come along from the national level and said, Barbara, do the NCAA final game, you know, I would have said right away, I said, you know, I love this game, and I would love to do it, but, you know, I just don't have the experience yet. I need a few more years. I need to know the players more. I need to know. Have a little more judgment under my belt. And I'm wondering what gave her permission to think that she could handle this the highest level of leadership that would be required of her.
Well, Barbara. Well, Barbara, she was the runner up for Miss Alaska.
Yes, that brings. you know, that tells me a lot of what McCain's cabinet would look like too. you know.
Yeah,
you know, absolutely. She won herself a year's supply of blubber from that, I heard.
Something like that. Yeah, here's the deal with that, too, that I thought was kind of surprising. You know, you remember John McCain's first wife was a former beauty queen. His second wife, Sydney, is a former beauty queen. And now his vice presidential pick is a former beauty queen. Does anyone notice? Maybe this is like, maybe he thinks he's Hugh Hefner and it's like the girls next door or something.
I know. Can you imagine what his cabinet would look like?
The best-looking cabinet in history,
man. Like Monday Night Raw. It's not Vince McMahon running for office.
Oh, God.
Well, Barbara,
anyway,
thank you.
That's my comment. I just don't understand what makes her think that she is capable of doing it.
You know, I agree with you there, Barbara, and thank you for your call. Let's ask Sarah Palin about this, the governor of Alaska, Sarah Palin. This is what she had to do. This is what she had to say just a little over a month ago when asked about the possibility of becoming the vice presidential choice.
As for that VP talk all the time, I tell you, I still can't answer that question until somebody answers for me. What is it exactly that the VP does every day? I'm used to being very productive and working real hard in administration. We want to make sure that VP slot would be a fruitful type of position, especially for Alaskans and for the things that we're trying to accomplish up here for the rest of the U.S. before I can even start addressing that question.
So Sarah Palin's going to take the job here, not even knowing what it is the VP does. So to answer Barbara's question, what makes her think that she's qualified? Well, apparently because she was asked. That's all that she thinks here. But let me get to answering her question here. Governor Palin, if you'd like to know what the job of the vice president is from day to day, well, judging from the last 8 years, apparently your job is to order F-16s to stand down when hijacked planes are hitting the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. You need to out a covert CIA operative working on WMDs. You should pressure intelligence agencies to make the facts fit the policy. You should secretly gather the oil and gas executives to write our energy policy. You should tell liberal senators to go F themselves on the Senate floor. Get in a little bit of time to shoot some lawyers in the face and then become the fourth branch of government. So there's the job for you. Let's go back to the phones at 888-7-RADICAL. We've got Adam in Springfield, Mass. Adam, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks very much, Russ. Great show as always.
Thanks, sir.
Hey, I got a couple of comments. First, I think it's incredibly insulting to women everywhere that you made this pick. There are far more qualified women. It's clearly a political choice to try to attract some of those women who are disenfranchised or unhappy about Hillary's lack of choice of lack of Hillary. But the reality of it is that when you're looking at a vice presidential candidate, first of all, there's so many more qualified women out there, even Republican women.
Well, did you see Kay Bailey Hutchinson on CNN trying to defend the pick?
I didn't, but I can't even imagine how she could do it with a straight face.
Yeah.
I mean, there's her, there's Christy Todd Whitman, there's Governor Snow. I mean, there's Rail.
Carly Fiorina from HP, one of his spokespeople.
That's right. But the reality of it is look at in my mind, the three criteria that should be made when picking a vice president. One, can this person bring something to the table that you don't have in terms of experience? Well, obviously, this candidate does not bring anything to the table other than having a womb. Two, can this candidate help you potentially bring over a state that you would have trouble getting? Well, a lot of people have views that doesn't necessarily apply, but I think it does. And Alaska is a red state. There was no chance of them losing Alaska to begin with.
Right.
And three, is this person qualified, and probably most important, is this person qualified to be president if something happens to you? And the answer on all of those three criteria, no matter what party you subscribe to, is no.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I was driving across.
It's an insulting choice. As an American, forget about being a liberal Democrat. As an American, I'm insulted that he would show such lack of judgment just in the face of politics.
Yeah, all for a political win. He's just trying to win the news cycle for the week. And that's as far ahead as he thought about it, if you ask me.
I agree. And it's incredibly insulting and it's incredibly scary because, God forbid, he gets elected. And it's possible. I mean, unlikely as it is, it is possible.
Yeah, and a 72-year-old man with four previous bouts of skin cancer.
Right. Just as bad as the last 8 years have been, and there have been no 8 years worse, I cannot imagine this woman being president of the United States. It's just absolutely... scary thought. So
it is. It is. Thank you for your call, Adam. I appreciate that. Yeah, the phone line here is 888-7-RADICAL if you want to make your opinions known. Let me give you a rebuttal here. We've got Steve in New York. Steve, welcome to the show.
How you doing?
Excellent so far.
I'm just wondering with, you know, with this woman from Alaska, and she's got something like 13 years of political experience. She's got 5 more years of political experience than Barack Obama.
That's a good point. You know, Barack Obama never was a mayor of a town of 8,500 people. So you've got a point there. When it comes to having the experience of being a small town mayor, she's definitely ahead on that one.
100 times present. Not one way or the other on an issue. And
you don't understand how the Illinois legislature works. When we have bills like that that can neither be supported nor opposed, legislators often vote present. And as far as Barack Obama voting present, the Illinois legislature did so far fewer times than most Illinois legislators.
Yeah, but still, I mean, we're
are you seriously trying to tell me that Sarah Palin has more experience to be the president of the United States than Barack Obama? Seriously.
Absolutely. And I've got
a senator from the state of Illinois for 4 years versus the governor who's been there for a year and a half and before that was a small town mayor and a PTA mom? Really?
And Barack Obama was a community organizer? Come on.
Well, yeah, community organizing is a little different than the PTA. You're dealing with politics. You're dealing with getting people organized. You're dealing with multiple governmental organizations whenever you have to do those kind of things. PTA, what? You have to make cookies and smile, right?
Idea. I have not. Am I supposed to vote for him because of white guilt or something? Nobody in my family was here until the 1890s.
I don't even know where you're going out with that one. But your choice is between voting for Barack Obama and Joe Biden versus the beauty queen and the old man, I think it's a pretty simple choice. I got to head to a break. Thanks for your call. I appreciate that, Steve. This is the Russ Belville Show, the home for truly radical progressives. We're back right after this.
You're tuned to the Russ Belville Show, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
We're still waiting for Bill O'Reilly's response to our Lufa Joust and Falafel Off. This is the Russ Belville Show.
You watch out, Bill O'Reilly. I've been practicing with that falafel.
Yeah, me too. I've been practicing with my loofah.
Good man,
coming
good
for
man.
You,
it's 50
O'Reilly.
After the hour, and here we are at the bottom end of this hour, and you know what time that means.
The lunatic is on the grass.
Now it's time for our weekly roundup of the right wing's altered reality.
The lunatic is on the grass.
From the Guano Loco Neocon Chicken Hawks to the hypocritical American Taliban and the cable news punditocracy, the Russ Belville Show presents
the
Lunatic Fringe Award, an award dedicated to the politician, pundit, or preacher who said the most ignorant, hateful, or bizarre quote of the week. Oh, we got some Palin-y goodness on this one here. All about Sarah Palin being announced here. The right-wingers are out on the tubes there trying to defend this pick, the indefensible pick. All this, you got to remember, all this summer, John McCain and all his surrogates have been all over the TV talking about Barack Obama not having the experience and saying he's only traveled to Iraq just once as a senator. How come Obama won't sit down and talk about Iraq? Why won't he go to Iraq? They kept talking about that, right? Well, of course, Palin hasn't been to Iraq. This Governor Palin hasn't been to Iraq at all. So they had Lindsey Graham on one of the talking head shows trying to defend that. And here is Lindsey Graham's defense of Palin's lack of foreign policy cred.
You know, I don't know where she's traveled to, and I know the people I've met, but it's not meeting people that matters. You know, President Bush met President Putin. I don't think it matters just meeting people. You look at people's judgment. You know, Governor Palin took on Ted Stevens. If she can take him on, she can take on the Russians.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at is, you know, if someone can take on Ted Stevens, then they're certainly ready to deal with Al-Qaeda. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Lindsay, I can't give you the award for that one. That's not quite fringy enough. Let's move on to Karl Rove, who's now working on Fox News. Now, earlier this month, you may remember that they were talking about possibly Virginia Governor Tim Kaine could be a vice presidential pick for Barack Obama. And Rove went off saying that Kaine would not be capable of being vice president. He complained that Kaine has only been a governor for 3 years and that Kaine was only the mayor of the 105th largest city in America, referring to when Kaine was the mayor of Richmond, Virginia. It's not a big town, said Karl Rove. So how does Karl Rove defend the choice of Palin?
Well, she's a populist. She's an economic and a social conservative. She's a reformer. She took on the incumbent governor of the state, Frank Murkowski, Republican, beat him in the primary, won an upset in the general election. She's a former mayor. She's the mayor, I think, of the second largest city in Alaska before she ran for governor.
No, incorrect there, Carl. The largest city in Alaska is Anchorage. Second largest would be Juneau. Third largest would be Fairbanks. The city she was mayor of was a town called Wasilla, Alaska, a town of 8,000 people. And in her cabinet there, in her administration in Wasilla, she was in charge of 100 people. To compare, Kaine, when he was the governor of Virginia, the mayor of Richmond, he had a 200,000 people in his town to manage and 8,000 employees. So, yeah. Tim Kaine's not qualified for being mayor of Richmond, Virginia, but this Sarah Palin, she's qualified in Karl Rove's eyes. Now, another thing we need to get to here, just talking about this this one, I can't even bring it up without laughing about it. Steve Doocy on Fox News, they were talking again about her lack of foreign policy credentials, how she doesn't know anything about foreign policy. This is Steve Doocy defending Sarah Palin's foreign policy credentials.
But the other thing about her, she does know about international relations because she is right up there in Alaska, right next door to Russia.
She's up there in Alaska, next door to Russia.
She actually borrowed a cup of sugar off Vladivostok last week.
I think so. You know, by that kind of logic, Stevie, I'm qualified in international relations because I grew up in Idaho, which shares a northern border with Canada.
Yeah,
so I'm qualified too. It's just who you live next to, apparently, that's important there. So there's my Sarah Palin-y goodness. Now, to return back to your regularly scheduled lunatic fringe, got a couple others here that are definite candidates for the award this time. Our good friend, the $50 million man, Glenn Beck from CNN Headline News. The Becko, that's right. He was questioning why we are rebuilding in New Orleans. Why should we rebuild New Orleans after the floods of Katrina?
Why are we spending all this money in New Orleans? We shouldn't spend a single dime of taxpayers' money in a place where, I don't care where it is in a flood zone.
Uh-huh. So his theory here is that we shouldn't spend money in places where there's a flood zone, like New Orleans, or all along the Mississippi River. Were you paying attention, Glenn, when earlier this summer we had people getting flooded out in Iowa and the Midwest? What, you're going to have everybody in the Midwest or, hell, anywhere in the United States that lives next to a river, they should move because we shouldn't be using taxpayer money to help them if they're flooded out. And what about all the other places people live in this country, that in earthquake zones or tornado zones or mudslides or where there's like grass fires or forest fires? Is Glenn Beck going to move us all to that one single safe place in America where nothing bad could possibly happen? Oh, man, Glenn Beck. Got to get me some of that money. But to our winner, we got our winner here for the Lunatic Fringe. After all of that, I got somebody who went the extra step to win the Lunatic Fringe Award today. This is the governor of South Carolina, Mark Sanford, the Republican governor of South Carolina, talking about John W. McCain and his overuse of his POW status in his campaigning.
I've spent a lot of time with John McCain over the years, and it's something that he really doesn't bring up in personal conversation. It's something that you have to pull out of him just because it's something he doesn't talk about. And so does he have admirers that have talked about that searing life experience and the character that it would develop? Absolutely. If you can walk through that test of fire, it probably says you can do a lot of other things later in life, which he's certainly done. So, with all due respect, I think it's a crazy claim.
So he thinks it's a crazy claim to say that John W. McCain is overusing his status as a POW in politicking here because it's something he just doesn't like to talk about. Just the other day on the Jay Leno show, when Jay Leno asked him about the whole housing gaffe, he said, quote, "Could I mention to you, Jay, that in a moment of seriousness, I spent 5.5 years in a prison cell. I didn't have a house. I didn't have a kitchen table." When talking about his love of the song Take a Chance on Me by ABBA, he said, "A lot of my taste in music stopped about the time I impacted a surface-to-air missile with my own plane." Never mind the fact that he got shot down way before ABBA ever recorded that song. He also was opposed to universal health care. He said, "I had a very good period of time where I didn't have good health care. I got it from another government," when he was talking to George Stephanopoulos on This Week. And when talking about his political opponents, talking about Senator Clinton, he said, "She spent $1 million on a Woodstock museum." He says, "My friends, I wasn't there. I was tied up at the time." So Mark Sanford, for demonstrating the elephantine testicles necessary to claim John W. McCain doesn't exploit his POW status for political purposes, you're the winner of our Lunatic Fringe Award. We're right back after these short messages.
AM 620 KPOJ. Now the Russ Belville Show. Streaming at 620kpoj.com and on the air at AM 620 KPOJ.
From the free speech zone called America. The weekend home for truly radical progressives. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Russ Belville Show on this Labor Day weekend. Glad to have you here. We're talking about the surprise announcement by John W. McCain of picking Sarah Palin, the governor of Alaska, as his running mate on the 08 presidential ticket. Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you, I was coming back from Denver from the Democratic National Convention, and I got to hear a lot of this stuff while I was on the road driving those great expanses across Wyoming and Colorado and Utah. Seriously, when the news came on that it was Sarah Palin, I almost had to pull over. I was laughing so hard. The entire time throughout this campaign, the McCain camp has been running the flag up about this ready on day one. Obama's not ready on day one. He doesn't have enough experience. Well, folks, the experience card is played out. It's been set on fire. It's been thrown in the garbage can. There is no way they can use the experience card now. Let me give you some background on this Sarah Palin, governor of Alaska. And if you'd like to get involved in the conversation here, phone number is 888-7-RADICAL. That's 888-7-RADICAL. First of all, you've probably heard already, she's the governor of Alaska. She's been the governor for less than 2 years and about a year and a half. And so Alaska is a state of about 680,000 people, okay? So governor of Alaska, and before that, she was the mayor of a small town of 8,500 people, and that's at its max. When she first became the mayor, there was about 5,000 people. And as I was listening to McCain do the intro, if you heard it, when he started the intro, he was, you know, still playing the surprise of it. So he was speaking in gender-neutral terms. And he got to a point where he talked about how his future nominee was a standout point guard on the high school basketball team. Yeah, you know, because when I'm looking at facing down Putin and Ahmadinejad and bin Laden, that's what I'm thinking is we need a standout high school point guard. That's what we need. You know, this selection of Sarah Palin is not completely without precedent. If you can look back in your history books, or if you're alive, then just remember back to Richard Nixon selecting Spiro Agnew as the nominee. That's the last time we've had somebody as inexperienced as Sarah Palin. Spiro Agnew had been the governor of Maryland for 2 years before becoming vice president in January of 69. And of course, you know, governor of Maryland's a little more significant than the governor of Alaska, just if you're talking just from sheer population in that point, in that respect. She also got her degree in journalism. She got a Bachelor of Science degree in journalism from the University of Idaho. Being someone from Idaho who had a lot of friends go to the University of Idaho, let's just say it's not Columbia. Let's just put it that way. So now, speaking also of Spiro Agnew and talking about this Sarah Palin choice, There's another interesting angle in which Sarah Palin is a whole lot like Spiro Agnew. When Spiro Agnew first entered the office and entered the White House, he was under an ethics investigation at the time. So is Sarah Palin. If you haven't heard this story, Sarah Palin tried to use the office of governor to get her ex-brother-in-law fired. And then when her ex-brother-in-law wasn't fired, and the public safety commissioner at the time was a guy named Walt Monaghan, and when she couldn't get Walt Monaghan to fire her ex-brother-in-law, she just fired him. She fired Walt Monaghan. And who did she replace him with? She replaced him with a guy named Charles Kopp, who was a known sexual harasser who had been reprimanded for sexual harassment. So some great executive experience there from the office of Governor Palin. Let's go to the phone calls here at 888-7-RADICAL. We've got Jill in Madison, Illinois. Jill, welcome to the Russ Belvell Show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So what do you think as a woman, what do you think about this choice of Palin as the vice president?
I think it's insulting on so many levels, not only the experience level, because after all, what experience did Bush have before he sent thousands to their death?
Yeah, good point.
Besides shirking his own responsibilities. And I also feel, as a woman, I am extremely insulted. It's like, insert any vagina here. I cannot believe that they are that glib that they think, oh, the gals are so silly. They're really ticked because the girl isn't getting in, who the entire time they said was so underqualified. And so, and now she gives her speech and you hear so many of them saying, oh, they picked the wrong one. They picked the wrong one. They should have taken Hillary the whole time. She is so qualified.
Yeah, yeah, that was part of what they were saying about the whole Hillary Clinton thing, is they shouldn't have picked Obama, they should have picked Hillary because she's more qualified, but on their side, when it comes time to pick a woman, like you said, any vagina will do, it seems to be.
Yes, I just think it's just, and that the caller previous fell for it, and so many people are falling for it. I felt so assured a couple of months ago, it's like, oh gosh, there's no way any Republican is ever going to get in office. I am so, of course I felt that 4 years ago, I felt that 8 years ago, but I just cannot, I'm really kind of shaken.
Yeah, you know what this is, a lot of this, of this pick is kowtowing to the religious right. You know, the reports I was reading said that John W. McCain here really, really, really wanted to pick Joe Lieberman to be his vice presidential running mate. And then everybody said, nope, he's pro-choice. There's no way the base will go for another pro-choicer. And, of course, this Sarah Palin is rabidly anti-choice, even to the point where she thinks abortion should be illegal, even if you're raped, even if it was incest. So there you go, Hillary supporters. If you're going to vote for her just because she's a gal, realize you're voting against everything Hillary Clinton ever stood for. Thanks for your call, Jill. I appreciate it. Got to move on here. Let's go to Dave in Salt Lake City. Dave, welcome to the program. Hello, Dave. Are you there? Okay, looks like we lost Dave. Let me get some more information.
No, Dave's there. Dave's there.
Oh, Dave's here? Okay, Dave, welcome to the program.
Russ, I'm here, buddy.
All righty.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I've got to say, I love that last caller, Jill. She was spot on. I just want to say, here in Salt Lake City, Utah, I have not seen one reference to McCain as far as a window sticker, bumper sticker, nothing. It's all Obama.
That's good to hear. Salt Lake City especially. Let's hear it for Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
Now,
that's
go ahead,
right.
Dave.
Now, we are a pretty liberal little pool in this very red state. But if I were a Republican, I'd be really pissed off at this choice. But I did have some helpful tips for them in picking a Secretary of State. I was thinking the Miss Teen USA from South Carolina.
Oh, yes,
she,
yes.
She could go over to the Iraq.
The Iraq, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Dave, for livening up my day. I appreciate it. Yeah, this ethics thing. Let me cover a little bit about this, and we'll get to some more calls here at 888-7-RADICAL. I was telling you about how her sister and brother-in-law were involved in this messy divorce involving child custody. And this is all covered in the Anchorage Daily News. You can catch them up at ADN.com. And so she fired this public safety commissioner, Walter Monaghan, and replaced him with a known sexual harasser, a guy named Charles Kopp. And the problem here is there's all sorts of investigation. The state legislature appropriated $100,000 in money to hire a special investigator to investigate the firing of this public safety commissioner. And it's been found out that her office exerted a lot of pressure to get this guy fired. I've got recordings of the phone calls and such. The trooper's name originally, the trooper involved in this was named Mike Wooten. And when the scandal first broke in Alaska, she said, "Oh, we didn't exert any pressure. We had nothing to do with it." Then, of course, some of these phone calls came out, and Palin said, quote, "I do now have to tell Alaskans that such pressure could have been perceived to exist, although I have only now become aware of it." Yes, and Palin was involved in this, as well as her husband, Todd Palin, was involved in some of these phone calls to try to fire this guy. So right there, you know, you want to talk about somebody who wants to take Dick Cheney's place, someone who's going to get herself involved in unethical violations here. Maybe she's perfect for the job. Let's go down to Florida. We're going to speak with Ray in Florida. Ray, welcome to the Russ Belville Show.
Hi, thanks, Russ. I love your show.
Thanks, sir.
Just real quick, you talked about McCain having played out the experience card by making this choice. Not only that, from what I can tell, he also needs to change his campaign slogan because that pick was not based on country first. It was based on campaign first.
Mm-hmm.
It's strictly a political ploy, a roll of the dice to try and win an election that was probably unwinnable.
Yeah, a lot of people are calling it the Hail Mary pass.
Sure. I mean, and it's clearly a campaign-first pick. As far as a country first, you pick someone that's focused on governance, not on winning an election.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that point. I really appreciate that, Ray. We got to take a break here, but we'll be taking more of your calls at 888-7-RADICAL. That's 888-7-RADICAL, the choice of Sarah Palin as vice president during the same week in which we celebrated the 88th anniversary of the beginning of women's suffrage, of women getting the vote. What an insult to women everywhere. Take your calls at 888-7-RADICAL. I'm Radical Russ. We're back right after this.
You're tuned to the Russ Belville Show, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. And 620KPOJ.com.
Call now at 1-888-7-RADICAL. We'll even speak slowly for conservatives.
We're talking about John W. McCain's choice of the governor of Alaska, Sarah Palin, 44 years old, 1.5 years as governor of Alaska, state of 680,000 people. Prior to that, the mayor of the 5,000-6,000 person town of Wasilla, Alaska. Prior to that, worked on the PTA. Prior to that, was a beauty queen. So we're going to see how that fits as far as your views on whether or not someone like that is qualified to be vice president. My point on this would be that if they were saying Barack Obama was not experienced enough, then this selection has blown that talking point right out of the water. Maybe you disagree, though. Let's talk about it. The phone number here is 888-7-RADICAL. I'm going to go now to Tina in Ashland, Wisconsin. And Tina, before we get into the conversation, yeah. Go Pack, go.
Excuse me?
Nothing. I'm just a Packers fan, okay. Tina. I was just making a joke.
Yes, I know. Well, listen, I have never listened to your show before. But I was curious because I thought, I wonder what the radical lefties are saying today about Sarah.
Yeah.
And so I turned your show on, and I'm a busy mom here, and I run a business, and so I just thought I would take some time to hear what you had to say. And I am so excited that Sarah is going to be the next vice president of this nation.
Okay,
I'm
Tina.
Not insulted in the least.
Okay, Tina, let me ask you a couple questions, though, to just set up some background here.
Yep.
You called me a radical lefty. Can I assume that you're not?
Right. You can assume that I'm a conservative.
Okay.
Guess what? I'm even an evangelical Christian.
Wow. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Okay, so as an evangelical Christian, you think this is a good choice?
Yeah, you know, I just briefly read her bio. I've heard about her, so I want to read it a little bit more. But from what I heard yesterday, what she said, how she carried herself, I'm just thrilled because, to be honest, I was really nervous about who it was going to be. I mean, in fact, I sort of think it was cool. I think it just sort of came out of the side and sideswiped everybody. In fact, I heard George Stephanopoulos say that when they talked to the Obama campaign, they were still trying to pick their chin up the floor. I said, amen. The McCain group did a good job. They sort of let us think it was going to be Mitt. I can tell that they must have been thinking about this good and hard. She's qualified. She's articulate. And I can hardly wait till she has to debate Joe Biden.
Oh, yeah. I agree with you there. We're in 100% agreement on that one. I cannot wait for the guy who is the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, former chairman of the Judiciary Committee, and 35, 36 years experience in the U.S. Senate debating the one-and-a-half term governor of Alaska and former beauty queen. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that too, Tina.
But, you know, guess what? When she answers questions, she knows what she believes. She knows who you are. You are never going to hear a response like Obama did of, it's a bit above my pay scale. No, no, no. No, this girl knows what she believes. She knows what's right and wrong. And I think it's going to be so refreshing. I think the next few weeks are going to be awesome for people to really see what this girl is all about. And I am just saying, go for it. And I think it's great that you guys put me on. I thought, are they going to allow me to speak?
Oh, sure.
Whatever? And I think it's good to be able to hear both sides. I've got friends that are Obama supporters, but I'm looking forward to talking to them now that the vice president pick is out. I think they're going to.
Well, let me bring you a few things on this. You said something to the effect of when she gets on the camera and she speaks, she's very clear. Let me give you this when asked about what her potential job might be.
But as for that VP talk all the time, I tell you, I still can't answer that question until somebody answers for me. What is it exactly that the VP does?
So here's someone who doesn't even know what the VP does, and yet...
Well, you know, those little sound bites that you do and all this stuff and the talk about, oh, she was, you know, runner up Miss Alaska. If that's the best that you guys can do, good luck.
Oh, no, I got a whole lot more. Let me give you a few more here. I'm going to have to bid you adieu so I can get some of these in, but thanks for your call. I appreciate it, and conservatives out there, I'll always take your calls. Got no problem with that. Okay, so let's talk about the more serious things. Like you said, the Miss Alaska thing's not serious enough for you. Okay, let's talk about the $100,000 branch flower investigation going on in the state of Alaska right now to investigate an ethics violation where she used the power of her office to try to get her ex-brother-in-law fired and then fired the uncooperative public safety commissioner and replaced him with a known sexual harasser. Her office couldn't even do enough vetting on this guy that they hired, Charles Kopp, to find out that he had been reprimanded for many times for sexual harassment in the office. Let's also talk about her so-called clean water initiative that she opposed. She broke state law by publicly advocating against a clean water ballot initiative. She used the funds of the state of Alaska to put up a website that was against the Clean Water Initiative. The Alaska Public Offices Commission agreed with clean water advocates and ruled that she was not being fair and neutral on this website and was permanently enjoined all state officials from making public statements that were critical of this initiative. Now, of course, who was against the Clean Water Initiative? The big mining interests in the state of Alaska, who she very much is in the pocket of, and she wanted to make sure they could get away with polluting the waters of Alaska. She, a big quote that's out right now is how she talks about how, this was in her speech the other day, she says, I championed reform to end the abuses of earmark spending by Congress. In fact, I told Congress thanks, but no thanks on the bridge to nowhere. Well, here's a situation where she was against it before she was for it. Previously, before this, when this bridge of nowhere was involved, she was quite interested in getting that passed. In fact, when asked about it in 2006, she said, yes, I would like to see Alaska's infrastructure projects built sooner rather than later. The window is now, while our congressional delegation is in a strong position to assist. And even after Alaska Senator Ted Stevens was indicted on all sorts of corruption charges, she still refuses to call for his resignation, even though she had called for a resignation previously of a state senator who was in a similar situation. I got plenty more, and we'll be bringing them up as we go through the rest of the show. But let me get to another call. Before we do that, I've got Mike in Fort Monmouth, New Jersey. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you very much. Hey, interesting to hear that last caller. I'd just like to echo to her. We had a church car wash today, and I can tell you there's at least 8 either I won't vote for McCain, whatever happens, or I'm voting for Obama, who are now probably going to vote for McCain. I personally hate McCain with the fire of 1,000 suns, but after
okay.
this choice, I think I'm going to vote for him. And not only that, I may actually make some phone calls, write some letters.
So you hate McCain.
I hate McCain. I think he is a loathsome toad.
You hate McCain, but you think that adding her to the ticket is makes it worth voting for.
In my dream world, McCain and her are elected, then McCain shuffles off this mortal coil halfway through his first term.
I see. So you're voting for someone on the possibility they're going to die and leave their vice president in charge?
Well, that would be my best case scenario.
Oh, my goodness.
Worst case, he's elected, he stays 4 years, he goes away, and then she's got a clear shot at 12.
Okay, so you think it's a perfectly legitimate thing to take someone with zero foreign policy experience and next to no legislative experience and put them in charge of the greatest democracy and most powerful country on the planet.
What are the requirements to be a president or vice president?
That you can step in and be the president of the United States. I want to see someone with some experience. I want to see someone that's got some education. She's got a journalism degree from the University of Idaho. Meanwhile, we've got Barack Obama graduating from and being the president of Harvard Law and teaching constitutional law for 12 years. It ain't even close.
You mean a constitutional scholar who can't even tell you what the Second Amendment means? I'm not terribly impressed.
What the hell does that mean, doesn't know what the Second Amendment means?
Well, he thought that the law in D.C. was constitutional. I think that alone tells you what his constitutional scholar creds are.
At the time when he was reviewing that law, there hadn't yet been a Supreme Court decision on the fact, and up to that point, all previous Supreme Court decisions had ratified the idea that the right to keep and bear arms had something to do with the militia. Now, that's changed since they've made their decision, but at the time that he made it, he was absolutely correct. I got a hard break to go to. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate more calls. 888-7-RADICAL. I'm Radical Russ. We're right back after this.
KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. Elitist. Just like any other dishwashing, burger flipping, public school educated, self-employed, bar band, musician, National Guardsman, he's Radical Russ.
Wow, this show, 35 after the hour, this show is really testing my limits of credulity here. I can't believe there are Americans out there, human beings with the capability of dialing a phone, who can't see this is the most unqualified vice presidential nomination in the history of the planet, more unqualified than Quayle, more unqualified than Spiro Agnew, hell, more unqualified than me to be vice president of the United States. We've been talking about Sarah Palin, the former governor, or current governor of Alaska, excuse me, former small-town mayor, PTA mom, and journalism bachelor degree recipient from the University of Idaho. And I got people calling me saying she'd be a great president. She's the perfect person to be president. Well, I guess if these are the kind of people that believe George W. Bush is a good president, then maybe they got a point there. Let me cover some of the other facts here about this this Sarah Palin. In case you're out there seriously considering this, which I just can't imagine this. I mean, really. They were all up in arms about Barack Obama not being experienced. It was the one card they had to play, aside from, you know, the race card that they're subtly playing all the time. But the one card they had to play here about Barack Obama not having enough experience because, well, he only went to Columbia and Harvard and was the president of Harvard Law and Harvard Law Review and was a community organizer. And I think people don't understand what community organizer means. That means you're dealing with both government and nonprofits and people and trying to get that all organized. Being a state senator in a state with 13 million people, being a senator, a U.S. senator for 4 years, is not even close. But they used to say that Barack Obama didn't have enough experience. Now they're going to give us this 1.5-year governor of Alaska, a small town mayor, and with a straight face, come here and defend her experience on my show. Unbelievable.
It just goes to prove how outstandingly out of touch they are now. I mean, it reminds me of when Monty Burns ran for I was going to say Parliament, but it's not Parliament here, is it?
Congress,
in Springfield,
yeah.
Yes. Yes, I know what all the young people are into these days, collecting dog waste and piloting motor coaches. Look, I have a woman for you to vote for. Vote for a woman, yes. You have an ethnic. Oh, we need, let's trump that with a woman married to an ethnic with a disabled baby. Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Well, and let's talk about that from the family values perspective, too. The situation here of she's a mother of five. and her most recent child born in April with Down syndrome. And they talk about family values, and don't you think that a six-month-old infant with Down syndrome would require a little bit of care, maybe a little bit more attention than running off and trying to be a vice presidential nominee?
No, I'm going off to be VP, whatever that is.
Yeah, and furthermore, there's some rumors, and these are unsubstantiated rumors, but rumors nonetheless, that that fifth child may not even be hers. It may be the child of her 16-year-old daughter. Apparently, there's photos of Ms. Palin here, the governor, photos of the governor at points where she should have been 6 or 7 months along with child, where she's not showing at all. And meanwhile, at the same time, her 16-year-old daughter is taken out of school for about 4 months straight with a strange case of mononucleosis that wouldn't go away. Figure that one out. Let's go to another point here. They keep talking about how she's a reformer. McCain kept saying that she's a reformer. She's against pork barrel spending. She's against that pork. She's against all that pork, right? When they talked about the Bridge to Nowhere up there in Alaska, Palin was quoted as saying, "I championed reform to end the abuses of earmark spending." She wanted to go against earmark spending, right? Well, check this out. Palin, first of all, Alaska has received nearly $100 million more in pork barrel spending than any other state, $379 million in pork barrel spending. Palin employed the lobbying firm of Wexler and Walker Public Policy Associates to seek earmarks for the state of Alaska. Palin paid the lobbying firm of Hoffman, Silver, Gilman, and Blasco to lobby on behalf of the city of Wasilla. While she was the mayor of that city of 5,000, they received a $1 million transportation earmark for the Wasilla Intermodal Facility for bus and bus-related facilities. They got a Wasilla Mental Health Center got a $500,000 earmark. The town's emergency shelter got a $600,000 emergency earmark. They got a regional dispatch center that got a $1 million earmark, $1.5 million earmark for water and sewer improvements, and a $2.6 million transportation earmark for a transportation project for a city of 5,000. Yeah, Miss Anti-Earmark pulling in millions and millions of dollars of earmarks for her city. And this is before we even get to the religious right stuff about her. But let me take some calls before we attack that one. I've got Alan in Woodburn, Oregon. Alan, welcome to the show.
Hello, Russ.
Hello, sir. Go right ahead.
My initial reaction to this was that I see no method in his madness at all. I just think that's how far down into the barrel he had to reach to find somebody who'd accept.
But, you know, I thought that, too, that maybe he'd asked, you know, Mitt Romney, and Mitt Romney went, "Are you kidding? I'm not going down in flames with you. I'm going to run in 2012.
He wouldn't ask Mitt Romney, because he wouldn't want to play George Bush to Romney's Cheney.
Yeah.
Anybody who was really qualified would run over him the way Cheney's run over Bush.
Yeah, you could be absolutely right on that. Maybe she was just the only one who would say yes. You could have a point
She's just naturally subordinate
just like a good Republican woman should be, right?
The only official duty she has as vice president is to preside over the Senate.
Yeah, that's
true. She's going to be a vice president who will be cut completely out of the loop. And if, heaven forbid, the day ever does come and he drops dead, she won't even know what the president's supposed to do.
Good point. Thanks for your call, Alan. I appreciate that. Yeah, let's go to another call here. We got Jimmy from Houston, Texas. Jimmy, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm absolutely mind-boggled by these calls you're getting.
Tell me.
I will admit, when the issue comes out with her as the centerfold, I will buy it. She is a hot woman. But, my gosh, I mean, what qualifications does she have other than her uterus works?
Exactly. Like I had a caller earlier in the last hour that said, any vagina will do. And this is just so insulting to women that, you know, oh, well, we couldn't vote for Hillary. Let's vote for this woman, despite the fact she is the polar opposite of Hillary Clinton.
And, you know, anybody that wants to talk about Barack Obama and the Constitution, my God, George Bush has wiped his butt with the Constitution every day in office.
Yeah, there's no room to stand on that point. Absolutely. Thank you for your call, Jimmy.
All right, buddy.
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate that. Yeah, let me cover a couple things here with regard to, you know, if you're a Hillary voter out there and you're just dying to have a woman in office, let me make sure you understand a couple of things. First of all, Sarah Palin is totally anti-choice, even in the cases of rape or incest. She believes that if a woman's raped, well, that's just the way God wanted it, right? That was part of God's plan, was to rape you and force you to have your rapist baby. I'm just stunned by that idea. That just seems almost like, you know, pro-rapist rights. You know, rapists deserve to have their children too. She is completely opposed to gay marriage and health care benefits for gay domestic partners. She's even willing to repeal any of the domestic partner benefits that corporations give to their employees. So think about that when you're thinking about this this Sarah Palin. And one more thing, she is skeptical, check this, skeptical of evolution and believes that creationism should be taught or at least discussed in the classroom. She was in a debate up there in Alaska for the governor's race and said, quote, teach both. You know, don't be afraid of information. Healthy debate is so important and it's so valuable in our schools. I am a proponent of teaching both. Yeah, so if one group thinks that 2 plus 2 equals 4 and another group thinks that 2 plus 2 equals 17, they should both be taught equally in schools. Let's give the kids all the information they can get. Let's go to the phones here. I've got Bobby Lee in Charlotte. Bobby, welcome to the program.
What a great show. You know, when I saw her husband, I said there's a Billy Carter moment there. I think you think the same thing. And I was thinking, this could be real fun. So I know there's got to be out there somewhere a National Enquirer reporter that listens to your show. And someday I'll evolve and I'll be a much better person. Let me just say that right off the bat. But let's go back. This guy's got those type of jobs that take him away for 6 months at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just see. Let's work the clock backwards and see where he was 9 months ago.
Yeah, there we go. Good point. Well, I'm sure we're going to see plenty more of that kind of stuff coming out of the woodwork. I got to take a short break here. It's about a quarter till. Thanks for listening to the Russ Belville Show. We'll be right back after these messages.
You're tuned to the Russ Belville Show, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. The voice of the everyday American. It's time for Radical Russ. This is the Russ Belville Show.
Welcome back. 49 after the hour, last segment of the show. We're still talking about the selection of Sarah Palin, governor of Alaska, former beauty queen, former mayor of a town of 5,000, to be the heartbeat away from the most powerful office in the free world. An amazing time. We're getting a whole lot of calls on this at 888-7-RADICAL. We'll get to a few of those here in just a second. Just wanted to run down the laundry list here. Had a caller named Tina a little while ago said that all you have to go on is that she's a beauty contestant. Well, no, I got a whole bunch more. We mentioned how she's totally anti-choice, even in the cases of rape or incest, believes that a woman should be forced to bear her rapist's or her daddy's baby. Yeah, so you Hillary voters, think about that a little bit. She opposes gay marriage and health care benefits for gay domestic partners. This is an interesting situation. Up there in Alaska, the Alaskan Supreme Court ruled that the state had to provide benefits to same-sex partners of state employees. But instead of just giving those benefits out, just give the state benefits out to the same-sex employees, instead of giving those benefits out, Governor Palin pushed for a non-binding referendum on those benefits. She wanted to have a vote on whether or not same-sex employees, state employees, should get these benefits. Now, how much would the benefits have cost the state? $300,000. How much would the referendum have cost to put on? $1.2 million. So she'd rather spend $1.2 million voting on whether or not gays should get benefits than to just spend the $300,000 on giving the benefits. A couple other things you ought to know. She doesn't believe polar bears should be considered endangered. She thinks there's too much uncertainty about the future of the polar bears, despite the fact that the two-thirds of the world's polar bears could be gone by 50 years because of the shrinking ice caps. She is a global warming denier, says that there's really no problem with global warming. And some other things in here, got a whole bunch of these. Had a McCain advisor here talking about how she could learn on the job. This was Charlie Black today talking about how Sarah Palin, she's going to learn national security at the foot of the master for the next 4 years, and most doctors think he'll be around for at least that long. So implicitly saying, crossing their fingers, hoping that McCain lives long enough to be able to teach Palin how to be president. Isn't this the same, isn't the same group of people that was saying that presidency is not the place for on-the-job training? Hmm. Let's go to your calls at 888-7-RADICAL. I've got Kevin in Arlington, Virginia. Kevin, welcome to the show.
How you doing?
Good so far, man.
I just wanted to talk about this experience issue. There's a lot of talk about it, and I think we're forgetting part of the point is that Obama has already been vetted by the American public. At least half of us, or nearly half of us, like him and love him and think he has enough experience.
Right.
Whereas she has been appointed by one man, one vote.
Exactly. Yeah, Obama's been through a 18-month, 19-month primary season where he had to go up against Joe Biden, someone with a huge amount of experience, Hillary Clinton with a decent amount of experience, and Chris Dodd, tons of experience, Bill Richardson, tons and tons of experience, and yet a majority of the Democratic voters decided that he was good enough, had good enough experience. And like you say, John McCain, not even knowing this woman, doesn't even know her, met her two times before that, hardly even knows the woman, and thinks she's got enough experience. That's a really good point. Thank you, Kevin, for that. I got to get a few calls in before we hit the end of the show here, so forgive me for keeping them short, but let's go to Lee in San Diego. Lee, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Russ. I feel that Palin is merely a vehicle to get McCain into the White House a month or two after they get in. From the sympathy vote and the base vote, she will abdicate, and McCain will be able to appoint Romney or someone like that, because right now McCain having Romney as a running mate, it wouldn't work because of the 35 houses.
Yeah, exactly.
I believe she's merely a vehicle. I was listening to a right-wing site yesterday, your point about who had the baby, and I was listening, and they said her water broke in Texas, and by golly, what a woman. She flew back to Alaska to give birth. Well, that sounds like a damn cover-up.
Yeah, and furthermore, I'm not an OBGYN or anything, but how long is a flight from Texas to Alaska? If your water breaks, how much time do you have after that before, you start going into some serious labor?
And what's the point?
Exactly. What's the point of flying back to Texas or flying back to Alaska?
So I believe she is a vehicle.
Yeah, they don't have hospitals in Texas.
Well, I think she's the vehicle to get McCain into the White House.
Yeah, I think you got a good point there, Lee. Thanks for
making
it.
Thank you, Russ.
Appreciate that. Let's go to Diane in Bountiful, Utah. Diane, welcome to the program.
Hi. I'm just getting such a kick out of all the comments, but, I can't believe that you'd appoint somebody that's just one heartbeat away from the presidency with so little experience.
Yeah.
And when I refer to him, I refer to him as Moses and the Beauty Queen.
Congratulations on that one. I think you win our Nail on the Head Award today. That's a good one. Thank you, Diane. Appreciate that. Let's go to Jim in Pontiac, Michigan. Jim, welcome to the program.
Hey, Russ. Who was that who called in and thought Palin was such a great tip? Was it Jill or Tina?
Tina, I believe it was.
Tina, okay. Well, look, if anybody doubts that the neocons consolidated the media for the express purpose of keeping the American electorate in the dark, and if anyone doubts that the neocons put their flim-flam men key positions of the evangelical community to propagandize that community, just listen to Tina, you know? If you can't wrap your head around these people who, like sheep, cling to the propaganda, it really helps to think about evangelicals as a big cult. Mm-hmm. And why people gravitate to cults, there are whole books written about these types. Just go to the library, pick any one of them off a shelf. You'll really get it. You'll really understand why these people, like you told her, here's some facts about what she said. Oh, she wouldn't even listen to that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's amazing, Jim. It's hard to believe. And every time I start to have a little bit of faith in the American people, I do this show. And sometimes those callers, I really scratch my head sometimes. Sorry to have to cut you off, though. Running a little short on time here, running up against the bottom of the hour. I wanted to get a couple more things in here, but thanks for your call, Jim. One cute little thing I picked up on this Sarah Palin. You remember in the Democratic convention on Thursday, they had a bunch of regular folks get up to talk about their experiences, and they had this one guy named Barney Smith who got up, and he had this little quote.
You need a president who puts Barney Smith before Smith Barney.
Yeah, and of course, Smith Barney is that big capital firm that manages, you know, stock portfolios. Guess who manages Sarah Palin's stock portfolio? Smith Barney. Kind of an interesting point there, huh? All right, well, we got to wrap things up here for the Russ Belville Show. We didn't get time to get everybody in, but if you want to make your opinion known, send me an email. The email address is radicalruss@gmail.com. You can also check the website, radicalruss.com. Let's go to one quick little call here before we call it a day. I've got Brian in Houston, Texas. Brian, welcome to the program.
Yeah, I just wanted to say real quick, you know, in the Olympics, you had the pretty Chinese girl that came out and sang, and then it found out that it wasn't really her voice.
Yeah.
Kind of like Sarah Palin. She's the pretty girl that you put out in front, but she's not really her. She doesn't have the talent. it's horrible what they're doing.
I completely agree. In fact, let's go get the little Chinese girl. I think she'd be more qualified other than she wasn't born in America.
There you go.
All right. Thanks for your call. I appreciate that, Brian. Appreciate everyone who called in today. What a fun show. And what a crazy bit of information to have to cover. But we'll be covering it all here at the Russ Belville Show this same time next week. So make sure you tune in. We'll be glad to talk to all of you. So just remember, this woman, this Sarah Palin, you know, definitely a scary choice here. Mayor of a town of 5,000, governor for a year and a half. You just know that if Barack Obama had come out and named someone with this same resume as his vice presidential running mate, Hannity and Combs, all the Fox News talking heads would be in overdrive talking about how unqualified she is. But because she's pro-life, she's pro-life and she has a vagina, apparently that's all that's necessary for the McCain ticket. They ought to just change the signs. It just ought to say McCain Vagina 2008. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for listening. We're back next week, and until next time, take care of each other.